Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Young Pyromancers podcast. I am your host, Ezra.
I'm Charlie.
Today, we're going to be doing our Elven Empire CAD, whatever, the new
set. You know, the one thing.
Kaldheim Commander. Yeah, the Kaldheim Commander precon upgrades, the Elven Empire, which is the black-green Golgari elves, where we're trying to go wide with Lathrol. So, yeah, let's get right into that. Why don't we start off by reading our commander, Charlie?
I feel like we have a little bit of a legacy of forgetting to read the commander.
I remembered this time.
Yeah, Lathrol, Blade of the Elves, is 2, a black and a green for a 2/3 legendary creature, elf noble with menace, and whenever Lathrol, Blade of the Elves, deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1/1 green elf warrior creature tokens. And you can tap Lathrol and tap 10 untapped elves you control to have each opponent lose 10 life and you gain 10 life.
It's very powerful, like just an inherently powerful commander. Being able to you don't even have to sacrifice the elves, just tapping the 10 elves to drain for 10 and all your opponents, gaining that 10 life is great. If you can start activating that repeatedly, I see no reason why you can't win the game.
Yeah, it's so much repeatable power, and like the effects, they're really strong. It's like a Tana mixed with a Bolas Citadel, and it, you know, both of those cards are very good.
And so this is kind of, there are some cards obviously that we'd like to put in, most notably cards like Seedborn Muse and the like, but, we're still a budget podcast, and so we're keeping all of these cards that we put in under $1, and we're doing a 10 in, 10 out for this deck. It really didn't need that much help. I was surprised at how well this deck is as a whole, so there's nothing wrong with just picking this deck up for $20 off of Amazon and bringing it to the next Commander Night. I'm sure it'll punch upwards with most, if not all, like decks that you're just going to see out there. I mean, I'd say it's around a 5 or 6 on the powers and power level scale, just straight out of the box. Haven't tested it myself, but just looking at the cards, Lathrol's just so powerful baseline that I think it'll be pretty decent out of the box.
Yeah, we were talking and preparing, and I was just like, I don't think I've ever seen a bad elves deck. If the type line is elf, and you have a lot of them, you just can't really go wrong. I mean,
they synergize so well with each other that it's like it's quite hard to fail. We're going to kick this off.
With that said,
right.
There are some bad elves.
There are some bad elves. We're not putting those in our deck, though. We've got 2 of Charlie's nice one-man elves. We've got Llanowar elves and Ogre elf. We don't really need to explain them. They're both a green mana. They're 1/1s. They're elf druids. You can tap them. Llanowar elves adds a green, and Ogre elf untaps a forest. So both are pretty good. Normally, Llanowar elves might be a little bit better, but they're both great. Ogre elf can do some neat things when you're untapping lands with auras in it, but we're not really doing that. Ogre elf's just here to be a one mana elf that helps us ramp and be able to play a 3 CMC elf on turn 2. We've got a one Elves of Deep Shadow. You can talk about that one.
Elves of Deep Shadow is, I'd call it an honorary Llanowar elf. It's also 1 green for 1/1 creature elf. It's an elf druid, and you can tap to add a black mana to your mana pool, and Elves of Deep Shadow deals 1 damage to you. It's another elf. It's good. But it's just a little different. It's cool, you know? Spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the 1 damage is negligible. So those are 3 cards that are just easy slots in for some of the worst mana elves. And now we've got an actual really spicy good card. We've got Copperhorn Scout, which is a green mana for a creature elf scout. And Copperhorn Scout says whenever Copperhorn Scout attacks, untap each other creature you control. It's a 1/1. So I think if you just look at the price graph, I think this card has been steadily treading up with the release of Lathrol, sold out everywhere. So you might have a little bit more trouble getting this one. I know this was like a 7-cent card about a month ago. But yeah, Copperpoint Scout, very strong card. Being able to untap all your elves to reactivate for Lathril at just one mana is quite strong. And so what you can do is you can activate Lathril, then you can untap everything with Copperpoint Scout, and then you can tap Lathril again. So that will drain everyone for 20. Quite strong once you get that going. No, yeah. you do need those 10 elves, and Copperpoint Scout can't be one of those, and Lathril can't be one of those, so... Still a very strong card.
Yeah, I mean, like, it just seems so powerful. It's not each other attacking creature. It's just one mana. Just to note, these are the cards we're adding. The 10 cards we're putting in first. But I just feel like the line of play where you attack with a Lathril and a Copperhorn Scout, Lathril deals damage. Say you have like 5 elves, you get 5 more elves. Lathril's untapped, and then your second main, you get to drain for a total of 30.
Yeah, I don't think you 30.
Well, each opponent loses 10, you gain 10. So 3 opponents.
Wait, yeah, that's okay. Right, so yeah, you drain, you do hit for 30, but you don't even have to swing with Lathril. You just activate Lathril pre-combat, then swing with just the lone Copperpoint Scout, untap Lathril and all the other elves you control, and then retap Lathril. So Lathril doesn't actually have to be in danger for this loop to happen. It's very strong at one mana.
It's really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can talk about Vitalize.
So Vitalize, I wouldn't say it's in a whole different vein than Copperhorn Scout is. But you know, it's a pretty well-known card. It's really good. It's one green for an instant, untap all creatures you control.
Great card if you ask me, the Vanifar player.
Yeah. it does everything you need for a one mana green instant. In this deck, it just does everything you need. It untaps all your creatures, Lathril included, and it's just so cheap. There's nothing. There's nowhere you can go wrong with it.
Yeah, I think Copperhorn Scout was actually in one iteration of one of my Vanifar decks. The issue was just having a 1/1 that can die in combat, which is not what you really want to be doing with your untappers. So yeah, that got cut. But Copperhorn Scout is a very like good card.
You attack.
It like gives little creatures
trigger
vigilance.
On the stack.
I think, yeah. I mean, now
trigger
it's
on the stack.
Sense, but
untap.
It's a good card.
Vanifar. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah.
Up next, do you wanna talk
about
this one?
Yeah, I will take Wirewood Herald. Wirewood Herald is one in a green for a creature elf, and it says when Wirewood Herald dies, you may search your library for an elf card, reveal that card, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library. This is the toolbox of toolbox cards. Yeah, and you just want it to die. It's a 1/1. Shouldn't be that hard to kill off. You can just politic with someone, have them block your 1/1, and then you get whatever cool elf you want. We have so many elves in this deck that Wirewood Herald is... It's basically a Sylvan Tutor that with a little bit more steps. It's just... If you can play Sylvan Tutor for 46 cents, that is.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, there's actually one card in the deck in Kaldheim. Elder Fang Ritualist is two and a black for a creature elf cleric. When it dies, return another target elf from your graveyard to your hand. Maybe there's something cool there. I don't know. Wait. I was just looking at it, and it's like, it's kind of funny how that works.
That is cool. I didn't think about that. Cool catch. I mean, I doubt there's anything neat you can do with it, because we're not actually really trying to sacrifice.
I'll write that down in my list of combos that take like an altar and then 3 other cards that generate mana. Yeah. Yeah. Wirewood Herald is I mean it's a 2-mana tutor.
It synergizes really well with this next card, which is Skemtar Avenger. One in a black for a creature elf Berserker 3/1. Whenever another non-token elf or Berserker you control dies, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. Does everything we want it to do. I mean, it's a 3/1, so yeah, it'll die to Firebolt, but...
it dies to a stiff breeze. But for two mana, that effect is really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, if it just like having your Lathril die, and now it replaces itself, the one life doesn't really matter. I think Scamfor Avenger is going to end up being like a must kill, because if it stays on the battlefield and triggers like 4 or 5 times, you're going to be really ahead in that game on your one mana. On your two mana card.
Yeah, I think this is like, if I was playing Lathril and, you know, I played, or if my opponent was playing Lathril and they played a Scamfar Avenger, I would consider it to be of the same threat level as like a Dark Confidant in that situation.
I mean, or it's probably going to draw you at least as many cards as Bob would.
Yeah.
In this sort of deck. All right, Immaculate Magistrate is our next card. Immaculate Magistrate, you can read this one.
Oh god, how do I spell Immaculate? Ah, perfect. It's 3 and a green for a 2/2 creature elf shaman with tap. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature for each elf you control.
This is just like the big buffer. It makes one of your elves huge. And you want that to be Lathril, because Lathril has that very nice text of whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you make that many 1/1 elves. And so if you ever smack someone, you can just hold this up, and the threat of activation is already huge. But if they just decide, hey, I'm not going to block Lathril, and then you tap it and put 12 counters on Lathril.
And you get 12 more elves, and it grows, it doubles every turn.
Yeah, I mean, this can just get out of hand.
It feels like there's just so many of these cards, and that's like kind of the thing with elf decks. I feel like it's so easy to get a bunch of elves out, and then there's just like an endless amount of these cards that feel like they just win the game if you have any elves out.
You know, I think if you took that sentence and then replaced every one of those mentions of elves and replaced it with the word goblins, it would be also true. Yeah, but those are really the only two tribes you have in Commander.
It's like you just play an elf and then you play like, oh, that's an Allosaurus Shepherd. That's going to win the game, you know?
Yeah,
oh,
right. Like, we need to get rid of that.
Yeah, and there's just like many, many of these cards. Yeah.
Right, just token, Dwinin's Elite, like Land of War Elves, Dwinin's Elite, Elvish Archdruid in Historic, Malwin, and you're just dead. And because they're ramping out the Creator Hoof Behemoth on turn 4.
Yeah. That's an Elvish Archdruid. And that's not even one of the good ones. And it has all of the characteristics of a normal tribe, and then a bunch of, and then Creator Hoof Behemoth, you know?
Right. Okay, so obviously if you have a Creator Hoof, put in this deck. With that said, let's move on to Shamanic Revelation. Shamanic Revelation is 3 green for a sorcery, draw a card for each creature you control, and has Ferocious, you gain 4 life for each creature you control, with power 4 or greater. That second one probably won't come up as much. I mean, I think this is just a generically really strong really strong card draw card. If you just happen to have like 10 elves sitting on the battlefield, it's 5 mana, draw 10. This is good, and I play this in a lot of my green decks, and this is basically one of our playgroup staples. We see this card a lot, so it's a good card. I really enjoy it.
And for good reason. It's a really solid card.
Yeah.
And then I feel like this is a card we talk about a lot.
This card is so good. I don't understand why it's not being seen more.
Yeah,
they give it to us so many times. That said,
it's kind of scarily similar to something like Copperhorn Scout.
Right.
which goes to show how good Copperhorn Scout is, truly. This card is Great Oak Guardian. It's 5 and a green for a 4/5 creature tree folk with flash and reach. And when Great Oak Guardian enters the battlefield, creatures target player controls get +2/+2 until end of turn. Untap them.
You can get people in so many ways. Oh, I swing with 10 1-1s. Okay, no blocks. Great Oak Guardian, win the game. Okay, and then opponent says, okay, I swing with my Board of Goblins. And you say, okay, are you tapped out? Yup, go to blocks. Great Oak Guardian, untap everything. Block all your goblins with my huge elves. Opponent says, I swing with my 4-4 Sarah Angel. You flash in Great Oak Guardian, say, ha, it has reach. I block your 4-4. This does everything that you want to do. The only downside is it is 6 mana, so it is suspicious that you're an Elfball deck with tons of cards and tons of mana, and you're leaving up 6 mana, but I think Great Oak Guardian is very strong. I mean, there's not...
It's just... It's so good.
There's nothing like it. Like, it just does... It does everything that you need it to
do. It's so strong in so many different situations.
Yeah, so I think this is... This is a treasured find. I mean, it's 20 cents.
Yeah, true.
We got some more for you later, but... Yeah, Great Oak Guardian, that's a card I really like. That is 10 cards. That is our 10 cards out.
In.
Oh, that, yep. I misspoke. That is 10 codes in.
That would be unfortunate 10 codes out.
We just talked a lot.
it was pretty kind of us to talk about them like that if we're taking them out.
All right. Well, we alluded to this about a minute ago. Let's jump into some treasured finds. Charlie, what is your treasured find?
Oh, God. Okay. I might have to do some explaining here.
I don't agree with this one, but
so yes, go ahead. This is Frey Elise's Radiance. It's 1 green for an enchantment. Snow permanents don't untap during their controller's untap steps. It has cumulative upkeep 2. So I was just thinking about this. I don't. If my opponents all have snow lands, I think that the cost for, like, if you have to pay a combined amount of like 20 mana over 3 turns to lock your opponent's lands down for 3 turns, that is like a really, really good extra turn spell.
Yes, but it's not all the lands.
There's no reason someone wouldn't just play all snow basics, like, except for like
just
one.
Just play Blood Moon. Blood Moon is just a green card. Less depths. We were having this discussion. I said
snow permanents.
Yeah, we were preparing for this, and we were talking about snow and Kaldheim, and I said there's no downside to playing Snowlands. And Charlie said, actually, now there is, and told me about Frey Elise's Radiance, and I'm like, this card is really bad.
I was like, there's gotta be something.
Yeah, so he found something that punishes all snow permanents. I mean, there's Redain now, but
look, I think if this came down, imagine the game in which it goes turn one, everyone plays a land, a snow land, or 3 of your opponents play snow land, you play a tap land, nothing happens. Turn 2, they all play another snow land, they do something unimportant. Maybe they like play something that'll be important when their commander's in play.
Signet.
Yeah, whatever. And then you slam down Frey Elise's Radiance. It's like, it's just like a time walk. It's like a
yeah, but
a slightly
is
worse
this time walk good on turn 2?
Yes.
I mean, yes, but
yes.
Oh, yes. No, time walk is good on turn 2, but still, they still get to draw cards. They still get to untap their signet, which that's a bad example.
Well, and then you can pay mana. I think the amount of locking down it does for 23 cents is pretty. It's a good hate piece if you need
I guess if you play it on turn 2, then you can lock for 2 turns.
Or even on a later turn.
But yeah, Time Walk, but you can't do anything.
Time Walk is a good card, Ezra.
No, I agree Time Walk is a really good card. But Time Walk for 6 mana is not a really good card. That is just... Okay,
it wouldn't
time
be 6
walk
mana.
Is a really good card. But... Yeah, if you're trying to play
over, you get 2 turns of Time Walk for 6
mana. 8 mana over 3 turns. 8 mana over 3 turns for 1 Time Walk, sure. Okay.
8 mana over 3 turns is for 3 time walks.
Right, but you're also time walking yourself. Oh, but you did pay mana for your time. This is an overcomplicated analogy, and Charlie says go play Frey Elise's Radiance, and I say don't.
I think
Someone please let us know how good this card is.
If you start playing Snowlands, if your opponents are playing Snowlands, I think you want Frey Elise's Radiance.
That is true. I mean,
none of us play Snowlands.
None of us play Snowlands. Actually, Ethan plays Snowlands.
Yeah.
Ethan plays Snowlands, but I don't play Snowlands, and Charlie doesn't play Snowlands.
All right.
So, Fraelise's Radiance is very meta-dependent. All right, now I've got a non-meta-dependent card. I think this... I honestly believe that...
Hey, maybe we should be talking about this in our the elf deck episode.
Yeah, I mean this is very bad in this specific deck. But everyone should be playing Arena of the Ancients. This card is so good. It's only in 220 decks. It is 70 cents.
Tell us, what is it?
And Arena of the Ancients is 3 mana for an artifact. When Arena of the Ancients comes into play, tap all legendary creatures. And it also has legendary creatures don't untap during their controller's untap phase. Why is no one playing this card? If you don't care about your commander being tapped, absolutely you should be playing this card. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't be playing this card. If you're playing any sort of control deck, any type of stacks deck, like, why aren't even the stacks decks playing this? One top commander, and
like, it's in 17 tracks, so CDH commanders that depend on combat damage, like
Najeela,
Timna, Najeela, Tana, and Timna.
Tana's just for colors, though. You never play Tana.
I don't know.
But yeah, not even just CEDH. Just you slam this against me while I'm playing Rune, and I'm just sad. Like, you can't do anything. My deck depends on having Rune. Oh, you slam this against Brago? Okay, well, they're out of the game because they're blue-white, and they don't have any way to deal with artifacts. Oh, okay, you slam this against their, Obeka? The new Obeka deck that everyone's playing? No, they don't get to do anything anymore. Arena of the Ancients shuts down so many cards. It's so if you're ever ridiculous. Playing a commander, if you are ever playing a commander that doesn't depend on being tapped or untapped and is just there for a static ability, you should absolutely be playing Arena of the Ancients. Okay, you might lose a lot of friends along the way, but...
I'm just gonna list a few cards. Kiki Jiki, Mirror Breaker, Cranko, Mob Boss.
Oh, yep. That's...
Emery, Lurker of the Lock.
To shut down Cranko,
Yisan, yep. Jace, Vryn's Prodigy, Prime Speaker Vannifar.
I feel like this card, like, why am I talking about this? Captain, why am I telling Sisse people to play this? Like, this card is targeting me with all of my decks that are super commander dependent and all need to tap the commanders.
Kaidel. Yeah, Rune. Looking at the really good ones. Tariel, Reckoner of Souls.
I would like to note that this does not shut down Muldrotha at all.
No, it doesn't. So yeah, incredibly good card. Marieki Rebarret.
I played that card a couple of times. It's really bad. All right, I have one really quick bonus treasured find for you. Charlie and Tell I me. Both agree that this card is absolutely absurd, but Siren of the Fanged Coast is, we just had to talk about this card. It is a creature siren for 3 blue. It's a 1/1 with flying and tribute 3. So this is from Born of the Gods. Tribute 3 tribute. Is, as this creature enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice may put 3 1/1 counters on it. When Siren of the Fanged Coast enters the battlefield, if tribute wasn't paid, gain control of target creature.
Do you guys... All right, let's take a minute here. Do you listeners see what's going on here?
So, yeah, that's ahead, enough time. There's a loophole in tribute for multiplayer. Okay, so first of all, disclaimer, do not ever play this in Constructed. Just don't. It's just bad. Tribute is a terrible mechanic for Constructed because...
Hey, Fanaticus. I mean,
Fanaticus borderline fine, but I don't think it saw any play during Standard. However, in Commander, it goes from... Well, normal tribute is your opponent just chooses whichever one is worse for you or is better for them. In Commander, you get to choose any opponent. So you can choose the opponent that you're allied with most. And so let's say I'm in a game with Charlie and Ethan, and I say to Charlie, hey, Ethan is nugging us for 25 with his Yuriko every time he scries and then deals damage with a ton of ninjas. How about we take his Yuriko? And then, so I play Siren of the Fanged Ghost, and I say, hey, Charlie, would you like to pay tribute? And what do you say?
No, it's okay.
Oh, okay, so I'm mildly sad because my Siren doesn't get to become an air elemental. And now I get to take... Now I get to take Ethan's Yuriko. And so now Ethan's sort of mad at me, but I say, hey, Ethan, that Moldrotha on Charlie's side of the table, that's getting him a whole lot of value. So I blink my Siren at the Van Coast with my rune. And it comes back, and I say, hey, Ethan, would you like to pay tribute? And he says, no, I would not like to pay tribute. I'm like, okay, so I take Charlie's Moldrotha. And now I have all three commanders.
I'm looking for...
I look for this. There's nothing like this. The closest thing is Agent of Treachery. It is 90 decks, and I think four of them are mine. I'm putting this in every single
deck. There's not even anything on the internet talking about it. Like, I'm questioning that it's got to work this way, right? Like,
I am sure it works this way. I am 100% sure the rules for Tribute are.
It would say that player controls.
Right. It just says gain control of target creature. It should say target player. Yeah, gain control of that opponent, or target creature that opponent controls. But it doesn't say that. There's nothing like this. Agent of Treachery is two more mana. And Agent of Treachery is a $7 code. And this is 5 cents. And it's two less mana. So obviously you're going to play both, but there was nothing like this. Everything else is temporary, like mind control. What is it called? Just mind control?
Yeah, and the just
yeah,
the
mind control.
Politic potential with this is
what's the one for two mana? I mean for four mana. In Bolas's Clutches, which is a pretty good card. But that's just worse than control magic.
Well, that's not a...
I like Corrupted Conscience more than all those, but still pretty good. Hypnotic Siren. Well, obviously, I think Treachery is the best version of this, but it's $92.
Yeah.
There's Threads of Disloyalty, which can only do CMC 2 or less. Illusory Gains, which is just bad. Hey! Mind Harness, what's this card? Bonus Treasured Find number 2. Mind Harness is a blue mana for enchantment aura. Enchant red or green creature. Cumulative upkeep 1. You control enchanted creature. How's that for a neat card? I can steal your Moldrotha for 1 mana. And I can keep it for like 3 turns because I can continually pay that cumulative upkeep. I feel like it's very bad.
I wouldn't play that against a Moldrotha deck. It seems like you just hurt their feelings. I wouldn't do that personally.
I think Mind Harness is a good card. Okay, well, anyways, go check out all of these thieving stuff because, like, Yavimaya's Embrace, all these cards are just really good.
Yeah, they're truly
Thralling Hold.
Yeah,
really good. No, wait, no, Thralling Hold is really bad. Don't listen to me. I thought that had Flash for a second. Yeah, that was the card in M21 Standard. That was still really good, but it's also really bad. Play Control Magic. Oops. I just kicked out a charger on accident. Okay. Alright.
So, yeah, let's move on here. Now, what are we on to?
We are moving on to some big formats, shakeups. Why don't you read through all of the bans, and then we'll talk about them afterwards.
Alright, I don't think I can do this in one breath, so I'm just gonna, like, say them. In Historic, Omnath, Locus of Creation, is banned from Suspended, and Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, is banned. In Pioneer, Balustrade Spy is banned, Teferi, Time Reveler, is banned, Undercity Informer is banned, Uro, banned, Wilderness Wreck, banned. In Modern, Field of the Dead, banned. Mystic Sanctuary, banned. Simeon Spirit Guide, banned. Tubot's Trickery, banned. Uro, banned. Legacy, Arkham's Astrolabe, banned. Dreadhorde Arcanist, banned. Oko, banned. Vintage, Luris, unbanned. Wow, that was a change of pace there at the end, huh?
Folks, let's just say hello to our good friend Luris being unbanned Vintage. Because as a budget Magic podcast, we care a lot about Vintage.
It's like the cheapest format, right? That's how that works.
For sure. All right, First off, let's move from the beginning. Historic, that is one of the formats that I am familiar with. Omnath banned from Suspended, and no one thought that Big Daddy Omnath was coming off, so... Yeah, you can stay there. Uro banned. We saw this coming. I mean, if it's get, can we just delete Uro as a Magic card?
Uro,
like Uro and Oko. Could we just? It just got banned in Legacy. Could we just like that? Oko is already deleted from every format. Let's just delete it. Can we just delete
three letter card names
ending in O?
We don't need them.
No more. And then the next set is going to have I don't know. It's going to be like Ika. I-E-E-K-A. And it's going to be green, blue for a 2/2 that says when it enters the battlefield, draw a card and...
grow spiral. Yeah. Whenever you grow spiral,
whenever you draw a card, you can put a land from your hand onto the battlefield or something stupid like that. All right, Pioneer, Balustrade Spy, banned. Undercity Informer, banned. Those are just because of the Oops All Spells deck, and it was just like toxic and unfun to play against. And Pioneer's a dead format. Teferi continued deleting it from everything along with Oko and Uro. Wilderness Reclamation, also making its way down, we're just deleting it all the way down the chain. Modern, Field of the Dead, and Mystic Sanctuary, both of which are just control finishers. Mystic Sanctuary was just dumb with Cryptic Command. They could just counter once per every turn. Simeon Spirit Guide, they said they've had their eye on it for a while. It just makes the red combo decks like Belcher and stuff really fast.
It's actually so sad, though, because one of my favorite decks, I'll talk about it in a little, but involves a certain Allosaurus.
The
Allosaurus Rider, specifically. I love it.
Allosaurus Rider? Yeah, Allosaurus Rider.
Grizzlebrand Neoform.
Yeah. Tybalt's Trickery is banned. That's because of the violent outburst into Tybalt's Trickery into Emrakul. Aeon's Torn is broken. And Uro is being deleted as a Magicard. Legacy, Arkham's Astrolabe, also being deleted as a Magicard. Dreadhorde Arcanist, banned. That's just because that was just a really good card. And it could just cast all of your broken one mana spells in Legacy. Like your Brainstorms and stuff. Oko, Thief of Crowns, is banned. Yeah, delete it. And Vintage, Luris is unbanned. That's just because the companion rule got changed, and now you probably don't play Luris, unless you really want to.
Yep.
Alright. There's nothing really that interesting here for us. I mean, Pioneer, Modern, they're all very expensive, and... I don't know. I think it's a lot. They're trying to fix up all these competitive formats by banning a bunch of stuff. So it's nice to see. But I think we really would have liked some stuff in Standard. I don't know. Like, maybe something banned out of the Rogues deck. I don't know. I wish. Something to just, like, stop me from having to just... I don't know. I haven't played Arena in, like, 3 weeks because I just hated playing against... Rogues, which actually, according to EDH Rec, just fell out of favor. Now it's all Soul Tide Control. So they just got rid of the... It's not Rogues anymore, but I don't like playing against Control. I don't want to play against your Emergent Ultimatum. Oh yeah, people are going Emergent Ultimatum into Alwyn's Epiphany and then doing it over and over again. Okay, well, that is... I don't know. I'm not so pumped about constructed magic right now. But Commander's still fun. Why don't we finish out the last... our outs. We can just go through these sort of quickly.
Would you like to start us off?
Yep, let's start with Jespera Sentinels. Jespera Sentinels is... it's just, if you know what Loam Dryad is, it's just Loam Dryad, but a 1-2. It's a green mana for a creature elf rogue. 1-2, reach, and you can tap it and an untapped creature you control that add one mana of any color. We don't want this effect. You don't want to have a second creature in play.
Just play Land of Elves.
Just play Land of
Elves. Just play Land of Elves. It's so easy.
Birds of Paradise if you have it. Yeah, whatever. All right. I'll go through like the first half of these, and then you can do the second half. Sure. Roots of Wisdom is just one in a green, sorcery, mill three cards, then you can return a land or elf card from your graveyard to your hand if you can't draw a card. And this is just lackluster. It's just not what we really need to be doing for two mana. Jagged Scar Archers it's fine. It's one in green for a creature elf archer. Jagged Skull Archer's power and toughness are each equal to the number of elves you control, and you can tap it to deal damage equal to its power to target creature with flying. It's alright, but not great. It just can get kind of big, but its activated ability is kind of situational, and for the mana cost, you don't really need it. Alright, Numa, Jorga, Chieftain, we just saw this one in the last set. It's just very not strong. It's from Commander Legends. It's 2 in a green for a legendary creature, Elf Warrior, 2/2. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you can pay XX if you do. When you do, distribute X number or X11 counters among any number of target elves. It's just really bad rate. Herald King of Skemfar, which is a 3 mana, so 1 green and a black for a legendary creature, Elf Warrior, 3/2 menace, and 1 ETBs. You can look at the top 5 cards of your library, and you may reveal an Elf Warrior or Tyvar card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. This is probably alright for standard and draft, but just the fact that you might miss, you're probably going to be able to draw another elf, but it's just not... I don't know, this was on the end of maybe keeping in, but just not amazing. Alright, you can take it
from me. I'm yawning just looking at these cards.
Yeah, we replaced them with some better cards.
Golgari Findbroker is black, green for a 3/4 creature elf shaman. ETB, you can return a permanent from your graveyard to your hand. It's 4 mana and it's really hard to cast. It's not powerful enough. Simply put, it's also 4 mana, and you definitely want to be playing Lathril when you have 4 mana.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, you want Lathril on 4 mana.
I wouldn't call this an elf ball. I would call this like an elf wind resistant shape.
Elf wind resistant shape.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
It's maybe like if you're rolling down a hill, maybe I'd call this like elf wedge.
Elf wedge.
It just doesn't move.
The Golgari Findbroker is very sad.
Yeah. In that same vein, Null Mage Shepherd. So it's 3 and a green for a 2/4 elf. Tap 4 untapped creatures you control. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. Hey, did you know that Lathril's ability requires you to tap your creatures?
Whoa. Yeah, you don't want to be tapping your creatures.
Moving on. Sylvan Messenger, 3 and a green, 2/2 creature elf, trample. When it enters the battlefield, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. Put all elf cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. It could be worse, I guess. Could also be a lot better. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't impress me.
Yeah, you know, it's. I think that grunt was right. Turgrid Shadow up next. Three black black. For an instant, each player sacrifices two creatures. Foretell for two black black. I guess I'll read it because we haven't read it this episode. During your turn, you may pay two and exile this card from your hand face down. Cast it on a later turn for its foretell cost.
Why is this even in the deck? I don't understand. You don't want to be sacrificing your creatures.
Yeah, this is like, if you're playing Elf Ball, it's like someone came and they put like sticky glue on the hill.
On the yeah, it's like, or it's like trying to make the ball, but then drilling a hole, like then like smacking it so it turns into an oval. Like this is like exactly the opposite of what you want to be doing.
Yeah, it's just not conducive with your strategy. Is that a word? No, that's the conducive? Right word. Right?
Yeah, conducive? That is the right word.
Like it doesn't. Yeah. Twinblade Assassins, our last card we're taking out. I've seen this card a lot. It's three black and a green for a 5/4 creature elf assassin. At the beginning of your end step, if a creature died this turn, draw a card. It's on Arena, and I feel like most of the cards that you get as a freebie on Arena kind of suck. This is not
a freebie, was it?
It was. I think it was in the elf giveaway deck, right?
I'm not sure I got that.
I don't know. I think it was in something, but
it's, it's not that good. You mean the black green free deck that they?
Yeah,
you're right. That is in the. It is in the. It's in like the. Yeah, it wasn't a giveaway deck. It was just the pre-constructed black green deck. Yeah, you're probably right. It's just not very good.
It's like, just like worse than Skemphar Avenger. Like, well, it's a lot worse.
Yeah, no, it's a lot worse than a Death Reap Ritual.
I think that's not a creature, but.
Yeah, no, but it's one mana less. Two black and a green enchantment. Yeah, at the beginning of each end step, if a creature died this turn, you would draw a card.
Yeah, that's each end step for one less mana. Yeah, but Death Reap Ritual.
It's also, well, in Commander, it's probably better for it to not be a creature, right?
Yeah, honestly.
The 5/4 matters more for Constructed.
Yeah, Twinblade Assassin's not a good card.
Basically. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not good.
So, yeah.
That is it. Thank you so much. For listening.
We had about a 50-50 talking about the deck to not talking about the deck ratio.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. And this comes to almost exactly $8, so $7.97. That is helped out by the fact that Copperhorn Scout is sold out everywhere. So, yeah, that is not TCG Player Direct. Everything else is. Otherwise, this would be $6 because, yeah, it's just not on TCG Player Direct. Hopefully by now it has been fixed. I did do these prices a couple of days ago. But yes, thank you everyone for watching. No, not watching. Maybe listening. I'll put this one on YouTube. I don't know. Someday I will. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll put card images on this one. I'll try that this time. But all right. Well, thank you everyone for listening /watching.
Yep.
And be sure to email us if you think that Fair Elise's Radiance is a good card, email/comments.
Please tell me if you played Fair Elise's Radiance and then you got to like time walk for two straight turns, and then I can tell Ezra about how someone who listened to the podcast
said that I was wrong. Good card. Yeah. Or it can go the other way and you can try playing Fair Elise's Radiance and it'll be really bad. We'll probably be trying that sometime soon. Thanks for listening. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, tell a friend, email us at youngpyrocast@gmail.com. We will see you all next time. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Ezra, that's Charlie, and we'll see you all later.